All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We're going to pick up on Yud Amud Beis. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so we'll say our shir today is sponsored, is dedicated by the Meyerowitz family in memory of Sue's mother, Mindel Bas Shlomo Todras. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshama will have an aliyah. And also, I think, by the learners. In honor of Emirat Hashem, the bris of their grandson, B'Sha'a Tova U'Metzlachos, in just a little while. And a welcome to the Burglasses, Bruchim Abba'im, Mazel Tov. All right, so we're picking up now, Daf Yud Amud. So today's Daf is Yud Aleph. We're picking up Yud Amud Beis. Right by the six lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Eluk Sherim. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon had a fascinating shita. Rabbi Shimon said that even Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim that are done in our courts, that are done ultimately again in Gentile courts, are still going to be kosher. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon said the only problem with Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim is if they're done what we call behedyotos, right? Shenasu behedyot, which they're done just by regular Gentiles, not within a Gentile court. It says the Gemara, I don't understand, V'halav b'nei krisos ninhu. How could Rabbi Shimon actually paskin that a Gentile court could go ahead and perform Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim when at the end of the day, they're not in the Parsha of Gitin? Rabbi, remember we saw Rashi yesterday, and Rashi quoted the idea of V'kasav v'nasan, that only those who are in the Parsha of Nesina, only those ultimately, again, who are subject to the laws of Gittin have the ability to be a Vakasav. So in order to write it, you have to be subject to the laws of Gittin. So obviously, Gentiles who are not subject to the laws of Gittin can't write Gittin. So how could Rabbi Shimon be Machshir, again, written in our Kos? To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Zera, Yard Rabbi Shimon, Shifas Shabbalazar, Damar Eide Misira Karsi, Oh. So to which the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Rabbi Shimon Paskins, like Rabbi Elazar, who holds Eide Misira Karsi. Shabbos says, so how does that help us? Take a look at Rashi. It's four lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Yard Rabbi Shimon, Shifas Shabbalazar, Damar Eide Misira Saget, who de Karsi. Remember, Rabbi Elazar, you've seen this right the last couple of days. Rabbi Elazar holds that it is the aid that you have to give over the get in front of witnesses, and it's those witnesses in front of whom you give over the get who create the effectiveness of the get. Therefore, we look at Rashi. So we'll say, listen to this. According to Rabbi Elazar, if you hold Eide Mesira Karsi, that it is the witnesses ultimately who go ahead and give over the get, who create the effectiveness of the get, then the truth is, as long as the person who's writing the get is a Sofer Yisrael, even if it's being administered or done in a Gentile court, the get itself is absolutely fine. That's what Rabbi Shimon Paskins, that even a get done in a Gentile court will be kosher, to which the Gemara says, V'ham Rabbi Abba, Mode Rabbi Elazar ben Mesuyah Mesoch Hoshe Apostle, but yet Rabbi Abba says that even Rabbi Elazar holds Eide Mesira Karsi, holds that a get that is Mesuyah Mesocho. Well, so Mesuyah Mesocho means that the get is inherently flawed. Now, what's inherently flawed about this get? Now, the assumption is that if this get is being done, if it's being administered under auspices of a Gentile court, who's signing on the get? The assumption is Gentile witnesses. If Gentile witnesses are signing on the get, does that not inherently disqualify the get? Take a look at Rashi. Mode Rebbe Elazar ben Mezuyef Mitocho, Ta'afa Gavdan Rebbe Elazar, get Shein Alav Eidim Kosher, Dafka In Alav Eidim, Aval Yesh Po Eidim Psulin Pasul Medirabanon, Dilma Ka'asi Lemimshei Ba'apayo, Mismachal Epasi, we've seen this already before. Then what happens? Rebbe Elazar holds you don't need witnesses to sign on the get. That's how he paskins, because remember, it's the witnesses, it's the Eidim Sira that create the effectiveness of the get. So we'll say, it's interesting in life. Sometimes if you don't need something, you don't have it, it's fine. But if you don't need it and you have the wrong thing there, it's a good hashkafas achayim. If you don't need it, fine. But if you're going to put it on there, then it's got to be right. And if it's not right, then it compromises the get. So Rabbi Elazar will say, you're right, I don't need Aiden to sign on the get. But if you're going to have people signed on the get and they're not Jewish, then by definition, you've invalidated the get midirabbanan. Rabbi said the concern on that situation would be that people may come to rely on the signatures on the get to validate the get. To which the Gemara answers, Hacham Ayaskin, what are we dealing with over here? B'shemus mufhakim, top of your daf. Oh, so Rabbi, this is an interesting discussion. To which the Gemara says, the case over here in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi, remember, this is all building one on the other. It's exciting when it builds like this. So the idea over here is Rabbi Shimon says, you could administer a get in a Gentile court. We've now established, when is that true? Ede Mesira Karsi, because Rabbi Shimon holds that it's the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get to create the effectiveness of the get. What about the signatures? Is that not a problem? To which the Gemara says, we're dealing over here, Shemus Mufhakim. Shemus Mufhakim, Rabbi Hosai, means names that are absolutely unequivocally not Jewish. When someone sees those in a get, unequivocal non-Jewish names, no one is ever going to come to rely on them to validate the get, because they're clearly not Jews, they're clearly Gentiles. To which the Gemara says, Heichi dami shemos mufakim. So what are some examples of clearly Gentile names? Amarav Papa, so we'll say these aren't as popular anymore. So Amarav Papa, Kigon, Hormiz, although that's, I don't know, Hormiz, no comments, right? Hormiz, Avodina, Bar Shivsoi, Bar Kidri, Bati, Nakim, Ona. So we'll say these were all popular Gentile names that Jews did not use. Aval Shemos She'enu Muvhakim. But I will say, what happens if you have non-Jews who sign on the get? And again, their names, I will say, so Shemos Muvhakim means clear Gentile names. Jews don't use these names. So what happens, I will say, but you know, the ambiguity is going to come up. Because again, what happens if you have Gentile names that are used by Jews as well? Then what will be the halacha? To which the Gemara says, my, lo. Then in that case, the get will not be good. Because they both say, if there's the possibility that the names that are written on the get may or may not be Jewish, so both say there's a concern then that people may rely on those witnesses to go ahead and validate the get, and people may end up relying on Gentile testimony to go ahead and validate the get. Ihachi. If that's the case, Aditani Seifa Lohuskru Ella Bizman Shinasu Behejot. So Bose asks the Gemara if this is true. I don't understand, why did the Mishnah end the way it ended? Remember, the way the Mishnah ended was that Rabbi Shimon holds that the only time that a get administered by Gentiles is problematic is when it's done by Hedyot, outside of Beis Din. But let the Mishnah, Liflog Velisne Bididei, let the Mishnah go ahead and make a fundamental distinction in the previously stated case. Namely what? Bemet Ram Amurim, when is it true that a get administered in a Gentile court is kosher? B'shemus Mufhakim. Oh, that's true when? That's true when the names that are written on the get are unequivocally Gentile names. I mostly understand, because in that case, no one will ever come to rely on those signatures to validate the get. People will realize it's the Ede Mesira who create the validation for the get, and those people who signed on it, that's just window dressing. Those signatures are not really significant. However, Aval Shemo Shein Mufakim Lo, but names that are not clearly Gentile in nature will not be, if you have those signed on the get will not be valid, because they could be confused with Jewish names and people may come to rely on the signatures to validate the get. To which the Gemara says, Hachinami Kami, you're right. The Mishnah includes this as well. When is this true? B'shemus Mufhakim. When is this true? What does what Shrobo say? When is it true that you could rely on a get written in a Gentile court? That's only when the signatures are clearly Gentile. Because then it's clear you're relying on the Edei Mesira. You just have those signatures on there because that's what the court did, but those signatures are not creating the validity of the get. But if the names are not absolutely unequivocally Gentile, then Nase Kemisha Nasu Behejot Upsulin. Then ultimately that get is the equivalent as if what? As if it was done outside of a court, Gentile court, just by a group of Gentiles, and therefore the get will be possible. Vibay Seima, the second possibility is Seifa Asoin Legite Mamon. Oh, both say the second possibility is that last phrase in the Mishnah of Lo Huskuru Ella Bizman Shenase Behedyot is not talking about Gite Nashim at all, but rather what is it talking about? It's talking about Gitei Mamon. It's talking about financial documents. The Psulin, so the Gemara says, Lo Huskuru, what does that mean? Vehi Kamar, this is what it means to say. Lo Huskuru Gitei Mamon, the Psulim, Ela Bizman Shenasu Behadyot. That Rabbos say, interesting enough, remember how the Mishnah ended? Remember how the Mishnah began? The Mishnah began by saying that all shtaros that are done in Gentile courts, even though the witnesses who sign it are Gentiles, are kosher. To which the end of the Mishnah just says, by the way, that's only so if what? If they're done in a Gentile court. But if you just get a group of non-Jews together and they draft this document, that document will not be halachically binding. Which I will say, the logic behind that is, because again, remember we've established that anything done by a Gentile court falls under the umbrella of Dina de Malchusa Dina. Right? But something done just by a group of individuals is not bound by Dina de Malchusa Dina. Tanya, so once we have a Braisa, what does the Braisa say? Amar Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Kach Amar Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim b'tzidom. This is what Rabbi Shimon said to the Chachamim b'tzidom. Lo nechluku Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim akol ashtar sa'olun ba'arko sh'ol v'kochavim. So Rabbi Akiva did not disagree with the Chachamim. In the case of general shtaros that came from a Gentile court, Sha'af api shechos mehem ovdei kochavim ksherim. So both say, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are both on the same page. Now remember, both say, what's happening over here, just so you understand the context of this conversation, Reb Shimon said to the Chachamim that our conversation over here happened to have been a previous conversation as well. We're not the first people arguing about this. Already in the generation before us, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim had this conversation as well. And Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim all agreed that all shtaros that come from Gentile courts, even though the signatories are non-Jews, the documents are binding and valid. Or I should say valid and binding. Va'afilu gitei noshim. Now they take it a step further. Interestingly enough, and they both agreed that even Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim that are done in our coast, that are done in Gentile courts, will be kosher. And Abba said, now how could that be? Remember, so what's the simple answer to that question? How could that be? Ede Mesira Karsi. Right, because remember, if you hold like Rebbe Lozer, that Ede Mesira Karsi, that the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get affect the validity of the get, that gives you an incredible amount of room in terms of how you decide to craft the get. Now again, I will say, the difficulty of this discussion about Rebbe Lozer and Rabbi Meir about Ede Mesira or Ede Chasima is we haven't actually seen it in the Gemara. The Gemara now is constantly quoting it, but we have not yet done that sugya. So we're only seeing part of that conversation. But suffice it to say for our purposes, if you hold that it's the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get who affect the validity of the document, that just gives you an incredible amount of room to have the get even done in our coast. So again, so Rabbi Kiva, Chachamim both agree that even Giti Nashi Shkura Avadim can be done in our coast. Lo Nechluku, so where do they have a machlokas? Ela Bizman Shenasu Behedjot. Oh, so we'll say, so when do they argue? They argue when you have these documents drafted outside of Beis Din. Sharabi Akiva Machshir, Rabbi Akiva says that it's kosher. The Chachamim post, and the Chachamim say it's possible. Chutz Migitei Nashim V'Shechruri Avadim. With the exception of Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim. Now, Bosek, take a look at Rashi here for just a moment. You see Rashi where it says, Al Shtaros Ha'olim. So if you go 2, 4, 6 lines into that Rashi, Rashi says, Hachi Garsinon. Lo Nechluku Ela Bizman Shena'asu Behedyot. The Machlokus Itin Rabbi Akiva Nechachamim is when the document is made outside of a Beis Din by what we call a Hedyot. So we'll say Hedyot means, again, a non-based in framework. Sharabi Akiva Machshir, Rabbi Akiva says the document is kosher. V'chachamim post in the Chum say it's possible. Chutz migitei nashim v'shechruri avadim. Dechevan shenasu behedyot, shtari mecher, dekaimi l'rayo, va'alein desahadi ovdei kochavim samchinan pasol, ve'imar shikra chosum, aval gitei nashim lav aleim somchim, Ella Ede Mesira B'Shemus Muvhakim Kamar. So we'll say, listen to this. This is amazing. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim agree that any document, even Gitin Asher Shechre Avadim that are done in our Ka'os, ultimately are going to be kosher. So where's the source of the Machlokes? Hedyot. What happens about documents that are drafted outside of Beis Din? Outside of Beis Din, just by a group of Gentiles, what happens in those circumstances? So listen to this. So the Chachamim say such documents will be possible. Why Rabbo say? Because since those documents ultimately, again, affect, under certain circumstances, could affect transactions, there's no believability in a Gentile body outside of court. Courts have a believability because the assumption is they want to maintain their credibility, but outside of court, there's absolutely no credibility. So therefore, the Chacham say it's possible, with the exception of Gitin Asher Shechre Avadim. Why not? Because remember, going all the way back, Gitin Asher Shechre Avadim will be validated how? Through Eidei Mesira. As such, again, what that group of Gentiles do for this document is actually not so relevant. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva holds that all of these documents will be kosher even by Hedyot. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Elu af elu ksherin b'makom she'en Yisrael chosmin. I will say this is very interesting. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that even now, again, the Lashon over here is a little bit confusing. Af usually means even. In this case, he's really qualifying it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the only time that Gitei Nashim that are performed ultimately again by, let's say, our coast, by Gentile courts, the only time that they'll be kosher is in a place where Jews are not permitted to sign documents. Look at Rashi. Ksherim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Af Elu Gitei Nashim, Ksherim B'makom Shein Zochos, Min Kolomar, Af Elu Gitei Nashim Shate Machshirin, E Masayim Ksherim, even these Gitin Hashem, which you, Rabbi Akiva, Chomsei are kosher. When are they kosher? B'makum she'ein Yisrael chosmin, b'ir she'ein ha'ovdei kochavim manichin es Yisrael lachtom. D'chevan she'ein Yisrael chosmin ba'os sa'ir, ha'kol yodim she'ein ovdei kochavim, ve'im somchin aleyen, u'masalei nehile be'ir Yisrael. So we'll say, so says Rabbi Shimon, something amazing. When do we say that a Gentile drafted document is good? Only in a place where it's known that Jews can't sign documents. Because of persecution, Jews can't sign documents. So we'll say, therefore what? Therefore, everyone knows that the validity of this document is not based on what? The signatures on the document, but rather is based on the Eidei Mesira, and therefore the document will be kosher. Aval b'makom she'Yisrael chosmin lo. But ultimately, a place where Jews sign documents, so therefore you cannot go ahead and rely on a document that is drafted by our coast. Why? Because there's a concern that people may think the signatories are Jewish, when in fact they're not, and may come to uphold the shtar based on Gentile signatures. Look at Rashi. Now listen to this. I'm showing this incredible chiddush. Even if the signatories on the get are shemos muvhakim, which means they're absolutely unequivocally Gentile witnesses, you still can't rely on the get. Why not? Because there's a concern that at the end of the day, if you rely on these signatures, you'll come to rely on shemos she'enon muvhakin as well. So Rabbo say, this is amazing now, because again, this is a fundamental machlokis. Now, well, it's a major machlokis in many directions, but now the most acute machlokis is between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, specifically in shemos muvhakim, because Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah seem to indicate that as long as the Gentile witnesses who signed on it are clearly not Jewish, the get is absolutely valid. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you know, there's only one way in which a get done by a Gentile court will be valid, and that's when? That's only if it's being done in a place where we know Jews are not allowed to sign. Then everyone knows that these are not Jewish signatures. But even shemos muvhakim, even if you have a place where Jews are allowed to sign, and it's clearly Gentile names, Shimon Gamliel still paskins it doesn't work because there's a fear of confusing these names with other names. Or there's a fear that one may come to rely on other signatures that people think are Jewish, but in fact are Gentile. To which the Gemara says, but why don't we say that even in a place where Jews are not allowed to sign, we still shouldn't rely on the get, lest you come to rely on such a get in a place where Jews do sign. To which the Gemara says, Shma b'shma machlif. Names people confuse. Asra ba'asra lo machlif. Bless you. One city with another, people don't confuse. In other words, Rabbi Osai, so places ultimately again, where places where it was known that Jews do not sign, there was a call. People knew about those particular cities. And therefore, the mice, again, there's no concern that if we rely on a get from city A, because it's known that Jews aren't allowed to sign here, that someone will come to confuse that with city B, which is a place where Jews are allowed to sign. Fine. So far, what we see coming out from here is something amazing. First of all, pretty much everybody is subscribing to Edei Mesira. That's the first part of it. That's the first important takeaway. And therefore, if you go ahead and you allow for Edei Mesira, that the validity of the get is really established by the Jewish witnesses who witnessed the conveyance of the get from the man to the woman, from the Eden to the woman. So that opens the door for the possibility of the get being done in a non-Jewish court. That's number one. The Shaila then becomes, how much of a concern do you have for reliance on non-Jewish signatures? Rav Shimon says, as long as it's Shemos Mufakim, I don't worry about that. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I'm sorry, that's not enough. It's got to be in a place where Jews don't sign. Rabbi Akiva seems told that all of this is not a problem, because once the old Edim is Sira Karsi, pretty much again, he allows for this get to be done under any circumstances. So again, all interesting machloksim. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ravina Savar, Lachshure Bichnufiasa de Aramoi. So Ravina wanted to validate a get that was done in a gathering, in Knufiasa de Aramoi means a gathering of Gentiles. In other words, both said this was outside of court. There were a number of prominent Gentiles. So Ravina wanted to have a get done within their presence. Amar Elai Rafram, our Kostan. Rafram said, no, that even the license of the Mishnah to do the get outside of Bezin is only in what? Only in a Gentile court. Rabbi Osai, remember, the insistence on a Gentile court is about the fact that we assume that even in a Gentile judicial system, the judges want to uphold the integrity of the system. Therefore, again, that's why Dina de Machus, Dina allows me to rely on that system. But outside of the court, there's no reliance. Tnan, Amar Rava, Haishtar Parso, De Masrei Nehilei Ba'apei Sad Yisrael. Rabbi Osai, listen to this. There was a shtar parsa. Shtar parsa means literally a shtar that was written in Persian. What happens? Rashi says shtar parsa shaso b'lashon Farsi v'chasmu parsim hajoto salav. So Rabbi Osai, there was a shtar written in Persian, and they had regular Jewish witnesses who signed on the shtar. So what happened? The halacha is, or I should say regular Persian witnesses that signed on the shtar. So the halacha is magbinon mibnei chori. The document is enforceable, and you could collect from unencumbered properties. Now, we'll say, now this is talking about a loan document. So if you can imagine, again, party A lent party B money. So they drafted a document in Persian. And what happened? Again, it was given over. I'm sorry, and one more piece. Demasri neheli ba'apei sadi Yisrael. There were non-Jewish signatories, non-Jewish witnesses. It was given over in front of Jewish witnesses. So what is the Gemara Paskin? So the lender could collect from unencumbered properties of the borrower. So you understand, nechassim b'nechor, nechassim mishubadim means, when I borrow money from someone, so at the time that I borrow the money, any property that I own is encumbered to that debt. Which means that technically speaking, if I sell my property after I borrow the money, so let's say again, when the time for repayment of the debt comes, if I don't have available assets to repay my debt, so the lender could go ahead and go after property sold after the date of the loan. Those are called encumbered properties. So the Gemara is saying over here that in this Persian document that was signed by non-Jewish Persian individuals, that was written in Persian, but given over in front of Jews, so when the loan becomes due, the lender has the ability to collect, but can only collect from unencumbered properties. So says the Gemara, V'halo yadi l'mikra, right? But yet again, Rabbi Osai, the assumption is that the Jewish Edei Mesira don't read Persian. So therefore, how could they go ahead and how could they be real witnesses if they don't read, Rabbi Osai, in general, you can't be a witness on a document if what? If you don't know what it says. Right? So how could they be witnesses on the Persian document if they don't know what it says? To which the Gemara says, no, the case is, Bidiyadi. They took Persian as a second language, so it's no problem. They know Persian, right? They're able to go and understand the document. Rabbi said, this is very interesting. You know, on Jewish documents, Rabbi said, documents, our documents, this is really fascinating. Did I mention to you that it's fascinating? Hey, for Jewish documents, you need it to be, you have to make sure, you have to have, Jewish documents must be, what's the right word? I guess it's tamper resistant. Does that make sense? Tamper resistant? Yeah? Good. Tamper resistant it is. So let's just say, how do they do it? So they used to treat their documents with meafatzim, gallnut juice. But I said, what would happen? They would like shellac the document. Now what's the chap with gallnut juice? If you try to erase anything or write something additional, so it becomes apparent on that you could tell that the document's been tampered with. Which makes incredible sense because therefore no one could go ahead and change anything on the document. So how could this document be a valid document? Because at the end of the day, what? It's not tamper-proof. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Bedaf hitzan. They treated it with gallnut juice, it's tamper-proof. There's another halacha by Jewish Staros which says that there must be a summary line. At the end of any document, there's always a summary line that says, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Me'inyano shoshtar b'shit achrona kidarim peri get pashut, v'kinyona v'kanina min ploni, akoma d'kas b'fur shlel. We see this in a ksuva, right? The last line says, everything that's been written above is agreed to and is kosher. So there needs to be a summary line. And the assumption is this document doesn't have a summary line, to which the Gemara says, b'mehadar. No, the case over here is where? There's a summary line. So that's the case of Osai, that the witnesses understand what the document says, that the document is tamper-proof, and that the document has the summary line. Ihachi mimishabadi nami. So why don't we go ahead and allow them to collect from income? Why can't the lender collect from encumbered properties as well? To which the Gemara says, less like kala. I'll tell you why. Because the document doesn't have a kala. So this is very important. In general, in order to be able to collect from encumbered properties, the transaction has to have a kol. Rabosai, why is that? Because if I'm going to buy a property, so today, before you buy a property, right, so what do? A title search, right? You want to make sure that it's not encumbered. So what was the Talmudic form of a title search? How did you do a title search? No, I'm buying a field from Reuven. No, have you heard anything? Right? That's the Talmudic title search. No, you know, have you heard? Has he sold off anything? Now, normally that's a very effective title search. Why? Because if you have Jewish witnesses on a shtar, then people talk. Then word gets out. The problem with this document is what? Because it's Gentile witnesses, there's no kol. Because there's no kol, you can't put the buyers at a disadvantage because they had no real way of knowing that they're buying encumbered properties. Now, I will say, of course, the way they should know that it's an encumbered property is how? Is because the seller should have told them there's a lien. But okay, the seller's vested interest in selling his property. So he's not necessarily going to divulge the fact that it's encumbered. So because, again, there's no kol, and because there's no kol, because there are no Jewish witnesses, the most the lender can collect from is unencumbered property. It's really amazing. So let's see. Like, this is like, man, it just takes you back to yeshiva a little bit, right? Like these sugyas, it's just all the... It's incredible. We're going to start at 4 o'clock from now on. You know, Mamish, we need enough time. So, we'll say another kasha. So, Reish Lagish has to find Shafran Rabbi Yochanan. Listen to this. Eidim hachasum na la get. If you have witnesses who signed on a get, ushemos son kishemos ovde kochavimah. We'll say that this is a very interesting case. So, what happens? This is really amazing. So, now, right now, we've been talking about Shemos. Mufakim, what happens if you have Jews who signed on a get? And what happens, Rabbi Yochanan? Their names are Gentile names. Their names are like Gentile names. So what's the halacha? Rashi says, "Eidim achasum na laget ume eretz Yisrael ba dahalo ka'amar me'medina sayam." So we'll say, so what happens to this get that has? We think it's Jews who signed. It is Jews who signed on it, but their names like Gentiles. So we'll say, now what are we concerned about? What we're concerned about is that someone's going to see this, and because they look like Gentile names, people are going to assume that what? That they're non-Jews, and people will come to validate future shtaros based on non-Jewish signatures. So, Amarle, lo ba liyadenu ela lukus velus. So Rabbosai, remember, this is Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishag asks Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'll tell you the truth. The truth is, we don't have a lot of experience. We don't have a lot of experience. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, the case over here is Shmosin Kishemos Odei Kochavim, Velo Yadinan E Odei Kochavim Minhu O Yisrael. Now, we'll say the case over here that we're dealing with is a get shows up, we have to validate it, and the signatures on it are names that seem to be Gentile, but Jews sometimes use these names as well. So, what's the status of the get? So, Rabbi Yochanan says, look, the truth is, this case only happened in a very specific situation of Lucus and Luz. So these names are both said they were Gentile names, but were also used by Jews. Look at Rashi. And what's the halacha? V'chsharnu. And Rabbi Yochanan says, we said the get was kosher. Now Rashi says, V'chsharnu be'edei mesira. We went ahead and we assumed the get was kosher based on the fact that we used edei mesira. Okay. V'dafka lukus v'lus. It's Lukos Vulus. Right, that the truth is, those are very uncommon names for Jews to use. Rashi says, "V'dafka Lukos Vulus Sheshemos Muvhakim Heim V'lo Asil Mismachalis." It turns out that what Rabbi Yochanan was really saying was the only experience I have with this are Shemos Muvhakim. Our names that are definitely Gentile in nature. And I'm about to say, go back to Tamar Aleph. What's the status of Shemus Muvhakim? Shemus Muvhakim is the best case. Why? Because we're going to rely on Edim Asira. They create the effectiveness of the get. Because the Shemus Muvhakim, everyone knows that they're Gentiles. We're not ultimately, again, relying. We're not relying on the Edim. We're not relying on the witnesses signed on the get to affect anything. Aval Shams, Aval Shmasa Achrini, Deshchichi Yisra Damaski Bishmasayu, Lo. But Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan, other names, which may be Jew or Gentile, you can't rely on. Because Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, that's another way of saying, Shemos She'enan Muvhakim. So Shemos She'enan Muvhakim, Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't rely on it. Why? Because if we don't know if it's Jewish or not Jewish, people might think it's not Jewish, and they may come to rely on non-Jewish testimony to uphold the get. Listen, this is amazing. Gitin habon medina sayam ve'edim chasun aleihem. If you have a get that comes from medina sayam, and there are witnesses who signed on it, even though the names on the get are like the names of non-Jewish witnesses, ksherim, right? Why? Listen to this. Ouch. Ouch. Right? You already see the Gemara saying, Galus Jews. Galus Jews, that's us. So Galus Jews, right, they use Gentile names. Galus Jews don't necessarily stick to, as they say, the Yiddish Numen, right? So Galus Jews go ahead and take on Gentile names. Therefore, the Gemara says something amazing, that if you have Gittin that come from overseas, even though it looks like the names are Gentile names, it's okay. It's okay. You can rely on the get. Why? Because everyone knows that the Jews in Chutz La'aretz use non-Jewish names. Therefore, it's almost what the Gemara is saying is the assumption is they're Jews. They just happen to be sent with non-Jews. I'm saying, now you'll see, by the way, this brings up a whole other discussion, which we're not going to get into now, which is how you sign documents. You see, to us, this sounds strange, because we assume even if Jews are using Gentile names, but Pashas, they still have a Hebrew name, so we'll get into that. So the Gemara says, Hasam Kidik Tani Time. So I'm saying, what do you see from here? You see from here that Gentile names that have the possibility of being Jewish names are treated in halacha as what? As Jewish names. This contradicts what we said before, because we just said before that unless it's Shemos Muvhakim, the document will be pasul. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam kidik tiny taima. There the Gemara is saying the explicit reasoning. What's the explicit reasoning? Mipnei sharov yisrael shabachot ar shmosin ki Shemos ovdei kochavim. Rabbosai, there the Gemara says the fundamental difference is, the Gemara says, because in Chutz La'aretz we know that the majority, and Rabbosai, in this context we will see, majority doesn't mean 51%. Majority means the overwhelming majority of Jews in Chutz La'aretz use Gentile names. And therefore, again, Lemaisa, if a get comes from Chutz La'aretz with a Gentile name, you could rely on that get because the assumption is it's not a Jew. V'ika da amriki mas nisa. Rabbosai, others arrange this conversation a little bit differently, and they say again, So others go ahead and arrange this as a question. And the question is, if you have a get that comes from Medina Sayyam, and again, and the names on the get appear to be like Gentile names, what's the halacha? What's the status of the get? And in this version, Rabbi Yochanan answers the question, is that it's kosher. Why? Because the majority of Jews in Chutz La'aretz use non-Jewish names, and therefore the assumption is that a get that comes from Chutz La'aretz, even if it has Gentile signatures, is going to be kosher. I will say, remember, this entire discussion is predicated on the use of Eidei Mesira. And I will say again, remember, once you're using Eidei Mesira, they're going to be the ones who really affect the validity of the get. It gives you a lot more room to make assumptions about the signatures. Says the Mishnah, Ha'omer tein get zel ishti. But see, another fascinating discussion. A man says to a shaliach, to an agent, give this get to my wife, ushtar shechir zel avdi, or give this document of emancipation to my eved. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Meir paskins that if the husband wants to retract the shlichus, the husband has the ability to do so. Or we should say the husband slash master. I don't mean like husband slash master. I mean the husband, I want to clarify this. The husband or the master has the ability to go ahead and retract the document. Now, I will say, what Rabbi Meir essentially is saying is that the shaliach does not have the ability to acquire the get for the isha or the get for the eved on their behalf. Rather, again, the get shechur, the get isha, is not considered to be given until it reaches the hands of the woman or the eved. Semer says they can retract. So, we'll say, by the way, we'll see. The Chachamim say, if a man is sending a get to his wife for the shaliach, he has the ability to change his mind even once the get has been given over to the shaliach and essentially cancel the shlichus, cancel the get, as long as the get has not yet arrived at the hand of the woman, but not when it comes to a get shichrer. To a get shichrer, once that is handed over to the hands of the shaliach, the master can no longer renege. Why not? Lefi shezachin la'adam shelo befanav, ve'in chavin la'adam ela befanav. But say the chamsei, because also we have a general klal. The general klal is that you could acquire something for someone's behalf, even without their knowledge, as long as that which you are acquiring on their behalf is objectively beneficial. But you may not acquire something on someone's behalf if what? If it's detrimental to them. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, interestingly enough, the Chachamim hold that a get is detrimental. Why is a get detrimental? Because the Maisa, she loses material support. And therefore, again, a get is only valid once it reaches the hands of the woman. Therefore, the husband has the ability to cancel the shlichus and to cancel the get. But by a get shich rabosa, which emancipates the eved, that is an objective benefit. Therefore, once it's been handed over to the shaliach kiviyachol goes out in what? Acquires it already on behalf of the Eved, and the husband cannot renege on that. But on the other hand, you see that Rabbi Meir holds that even a get shichur is considered to be a chov, is considered to be something negative, and therefore again, lemaisa, the husband could cancel it as long as it has not yet reached the hands of the Eved. I'm sorry, we're going to see. So it says the Gemara, because again, there was a Rabbi Meir just backing up his shita. The Chamar backing up their shita. Because if a man chooses not to support his eved, he has that ability to do so, right? Meaning, if a master says, "I'm not giving you any food," you have to go figure out on your own. The master has the ability to do so. But a husband does not have that ability to say that to his wife. A husband must support his wife. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, you see that a get shichrur doesn't have any downside to for an eved. Why? Because he gives his emancipation and he doesn't really lose material support. Why doesn't he lose material support? Because technically speaking, the master could go ahead and say, "I'm not supporting you anyway." However, again, by an isha, she is entitled to material support. Therefore, the get represents a chov, represents a loss for her. Amar lahem vareyu posel avdo min atruma kishem shu posel as ishto. But yet again, they said back to Acham, but at the end of the day, by emancipating your servant, by emancipating your slave, you're causing him to lose out on truma, right? Is that not a financial loss? In the same way that when a kohen divorces his wife, he's also causing her to lose out from truma. Amru lo, to which they responded to him saying, mipnei shehu kinyano. That is only because he is considered to be the acquisition, he's considered to be the property of the master. So Rabbi Osai, at the end of the day, yes, it's a loss, but it's a loss because he's property. Now, Bose says, Rashi explains, we're going to discuss exactly what this interaction means in the Gemara. Let's just begin the Gemara. So Bose says, Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef are sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah v'kamenam name. And what happened? Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting there in the middle of the discussion, but Rabbi Yirmiyah was kind of dozing. He was dozing in and out. We call it meditating. But he was dozing a little bit. The Yosef Rav Huna v'ka'amar, and Rav Huna was sitting there and he said, Shema mina midrabanan. We see from the Rabbanan, that's what Rabbi say, Hatofis the Baal Chov Kana. Rabbi say, and this is a very interesting discussion. I think actually, you know what, we'll stop over, we'll pick up with this tomorrow. But Rabbi say, just coming attractions, we're going to get into an interesting discussion about the following. That if I know that Reuven owes Shimon money, I know that Reuven owns Shimon money. So am I permitted to seize property of Reuven in satisfaction of his debt to Shimon? Right? Let's say I know that Reuven is not paying the debt. So Shimon's my friend. I want to seize Reuven's watch in order to go ahead and pay up the debt. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that atofes labal chov kana, that ultimately again, if I seize property from the debtor to be paid to the creditor, that lemaisa, again, such a seizure works. As well say, what's the logic behind that? Where does that come from? What the Gemara essentially is saying over here is, what do you see from the Mishnah? From the Mishnah, you see the concept of zachin la'adam shalo b'fanav, that you can do something objectively beneficial for an individual not in their presence. So if I know that Reuven owes Shimon money, and I see that Reuven has some property over here, I can seize that property from Reuven to satisfy the debt of Shimon. Satisfy the debt of Shimon, even though Shimon has no idea what I'm doing. Why? Because of Zachin Adam Shalom B'Fran. So we'll say, all right, that's coming attractions. We'll pick up with that conversation tomorrow. Just a reminder again, tomorrow is a Sunday schedule, so the daf will be Emirat Hashem after the first minyan at 8 a.m.